This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good morning. You're listening to The Morning Run. I'm Wong Shaoning together with Philip C. It is 7:07, Monday, the 8th of August. And as usual, in half an hour, we will be speaking to, well, it's not as usual, but we will be speaking to Izza Ibrahim, a foreign policy analyst from ISIS Malaysia, on the 55th ASEAN Foreign Ministers meeting happening in Phnom Penh. But let's recap how global markets closed Friday. All right, so Philip, how did markets close on Friday?
It closed mixed. The Dow was up 0.2%, S&P 500 down 0.2%, Nasdaq was down 0.5%. In Asia, everyone was green with the exception of KL. FBM KLCA was down 0.4%, but the Nikkei was up 0.9%, Hang Seng up 0.2%, Shanghai Composite up 1.2%, and Singapore's STI up 0.4%.
So for more on where international markets are heading this week, we have on the line with us Stephen Innes, Managing Partner at SPI Asset Management. Good morning, Stephen. Now, Friday, we saw US job non-farm payrolls, pretty good, surprise markets by being more upbeat than expected. Can you break down to us how these positive numbers might impact equity market sentiment this week?
Yeah, it's interesting. The positive numbers may not necessarily be great for overall risk sentiment because that'll keep the Fed on the hiking path and the markets are looking for the Fed to cut rates in 2023. So if we have strong payrolls and strong wage pressure, which we saw in the data, that's actually negative for markets despite the headline figures being good. But if we look at how the breakdown of the data played out, one, healthcare services were up. It's sort of reflecting an increase in COVID cases and testing and what have you there. And then if we look at the other increase in leisure and hospitality, that side could fade a little bit because this looks like almost like revenge consumption type of thing that could be temporary as many people want to get out of the house and take their first travel. So we're seeing a bump in leisure. So we'll have to keep an eye on the data going forward. But I think more important for this week will be the inflation print, the US CPI in print, because that's what all eyes are focusing on, including the Feds this week.
So what are your expectations in terms of how the Fed will react? So these strong US job figures on Friday, don't they reinforce the case for more Fed monetary tightening then?
Yeah, I do. I think the report definitely indicates an overheated labor market and it continues to tighten further. And that's the one thing. The Fed's trying to sap consumption. And obviously they're trying to sap consumption through the labor market because it's super tight right now. I think this sort of advocates that the Feds will continue to hike rates. Right now, the markets are pricing in about 100 basis points of hikes between now and the end of the year. Whether that happens or not will really depend on how the data is. My view is that's the base case right now. I think the data that we're seeing coming out is still rather inflationary. And I think the risks right now for U.S. interest rate moves are still skewed significantly higher, despite what the market is pricing in right now, which is a drop off in interest rates or even a cut in 2023.
So do you expect Jerome Powell to backtrack on his "we are near neutral" rate comments, similar to what he said last time about inflation was transitory then?
Yeah, I think that's in the past. I think we're really stuck in this inflationary market right now. We're seeing that being played out globally, but most G10 central banks, look at the Bank of England, was forced to hike 50 basis points last week. They're a very reluctant rate hiker because their economy is doing really poorly right now. So they're actually tightening into an economic slowdown because of their fear of hyperinflation. I think the bigger problem is going to happen once we move into the winter in the Northern Hemisphere, because, you know, we're still dealing with that gas issue coming out of Ukraine. The Nord Stream pipe gas supplies may only be at around 20%. And where is Europe going to heat? Where are they going to heat themselves from? You know, I mean, this is just where the problems are going to manifest from the inflation narrative. And I think we're going to see higher inflation rather than lower inflation coming out, at least in the consumer side of the equation. This is the one thing that we have to really look at here and how markets react, is the fact that there's a complete divergence between Main Street and Wall Street. In other words, Main Street's feeling the recession and inflation angst right now, whereas Wall Street tends to look, you know, 6 months forward here, where they say, oh, well, that'll be gone in 6 months and the Feds will have to cut interest rates. Therefore, stock markets go up. That's sort of the follow through that we're seeing in the markets right now.
Okay, staying on the theme of interest rate, what we have seen, of course, central banks in developed markets in Europe, in US, in England particularly, all raising rates, being very hawkish on it because of the inflationary rate environment. Inflation environment. But here in Asia, central bankers tend to be a bit more dovish. Can actually investors arbitrage on this opportunity?
Well, to a degree, yes, and to a degree, no. I mean, the markets are so perfect right now that there's very little opportunity because the interest rate exchange rate mechanism basically wipes out that arbitrage. So in other words, if you try to pick up higher interest rates or if you try to take money out of Asia and back it into U.S. interest rates, the exchange rate may not work favorably when you try to return that money. So this is where the problems happen. But I think what we're seeing now is central banks starting to pick up the pace a little bit in Asia. I think they realize they're getting that delayed inflation effect. But we also have to remember a lot of policy gets really driven around what China does, and China's really having an economic slowdown right now. So with China's slowdown, they're not increasing rates. So other central banks in the region are a little bit less, are reticent to hike interest rates aggressively to keep pace with the Feds. But I think we're starting to see that come back right now because if we look at the laggard, for instance, the Bank of Thailand, they're actually going to start raising interest rates because I think they believe the Thai baht's weak enough. And I think we could see other central bankers in the region follow that mantra because they don't want to import inflation via weaker currency. So we could see a change in that narrative over the next couple of months.
Let's stick to currencies then, because the ringgit has dropped to a new low against the Sing dollar. You know, given that Singapore is our second biggest trading partner, is this a good or bad thing in terms of trade flows for Malaysia?
Well, it should be good because, you know, Malaysia is a big exporter into Singapore, and it should offer Singaporeans more bang for the buck, so to speak, if they're buying Malaysian goods. But I think that that'll also dwindle as, you know, we move into a more recovery, as China moves to get out of this COVID environment. And I think that'll happen towards the year end. Right now, the Singapore dollar is an international currency, and it's getting a lot of safe haven demand as an Asian because the banks are doing quite well right now. So a lot of money is flowing into the banking sector because of higher interest rates. Whereas the ringgit's not really traded internationally. It's really driven by broader capital inflows into bonds and local stocks, which haven't been doing that well. Bond markets are not competitive enough because yields aren't higher. And the other thing we have to remember in Malaysia is the exporters are reluctant to sell their U.S. dollars. I think they're going to start selling those U.S. dollars because we're getting into what's perceived as a peak Fed and even peak inflation narrative. And that means the U.S. dollar could start to weaken a little bit as we move forward into 2022. So we'll probably see some of the local exporters that have been holding U.S. dollars start to sell U.S. dollars for the ringgit, and that could strengthen the ringgit a little bit going forward.
All right. Thank you for your time. That was Stephen Innes, Managing Partner at SPI Asset Management, ending the call on the point that the U.S. dollar might see weakness in the coming quarters ahead. We'll be watching this space very much so. But very quickly, we have news coming out of Berkshire Hathaway. Of course, this is Mr. Warren Buffett's investment vehicle. Its operating profits jumped in the second quarter despite fears of slowing growth, as Warren Buffett's conglomerate is not immune to market turmoil. So operating income totaled $9.3 billion, which actually was a 38.8% increase from the same quarter a year ago. But it did post a $53 billion loss on its investments during the quarter.
Again, he's informed investors or advised investors not to focus on the quarterly fluctuations in its equity investments. Now, Berkshire said in a statement that the amount of investment gains or losses in any given quarter is usually meaningless and delivers figures for net earnings per share that can be extremely misleading to investors. Now, investors seem to take this on quite well because if you compare Berkshire's stock versus S&P 500, it's not too bad. It's down 2.5%. versus the equity benchmark, about 13% year to date.
Now, Berkshire says it's also going to spend about $1 billion in share repurchases during the second quarter, bringing the total 6 months to $4.2 billion. But that's going to be a slow repurchase pace. This is amazing. This is a company that has a massive cash hoard of $105.4 billion as at end June. That's more than our reserves in Malaysia, right? I think we are $109 billion. But yeah, this is a whopping sum, right? Even though the giant has been more active in deal making and picking stocks. But I always like these comments where fund manager, essentially he's a fund manager, right? Telling clients who are his shareholders, hey, don't worry about these short-term losses, you know, because we are long-term. It's like, don't worry, look further ahead.
But I was wondering what you said just now about Malaysia still having slightly higher reserves. I wonder if that's the case now with today's Forex rates.
Could be. We'll be watching this space.
I wonder if Berkshire has taken over Malaysia as well in terms of rates, cash hoarding.
Actually, we can find out later at 9:15 a.m. when we speak to Ang Beng Kwang. He's the head of investments at Hong Leong in Islamic Asset Management. He's going to be telling us about the ringgit outlook and the fixed income strategy. But up next, we're going to have a look at the anti-stalking bill. Keep it here, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.